I doubt if you'll ever find or hear the story of salvation presented any more clearly than you'll hear it tonight. Tucked away in the Old Testament is one of the most beautiful of all the Bible stories, one that is seldom mentioned, one whose scripture is seldom preached, and yet one of the most precious, one of the sweetest, one of the most touching stories you'll find anywhere in any print. I love to preach on the great characters of the Bible. I love to preach about David. If I had my choice, I'd rather preach on David than any other Bible character. I love David. There's something about him that's so human and yet so divine, so heavenly and yet so earthy. He's so like me in that he gets happy, and so like me in that he was weak, so like each of us. And so I love David. David and his friends, and David and his victories, and David and his defeats, and David and his life. I love David. I love Elijah. I love to preach on Elijah. To me, there's no man in all the Bible as masculine as Elijah. I love him. I love to preach about him because he was so like we are. Strong enough to stand before Jezebel and Ahab and all the prophets of Baal and challenge them to pray to their God and then pray to his God and literally pray fire out of heaven to destroy wet wood on the altar and the lamb or the offering on that wood. I love Elijah. I love to preach about Moses. I think the greatest man that ever walked the face of this earth was Moses, apart from Jesus our Lord. No man to me ever reached the completeness of the Christian life with leadership, stamina, power, tact, strength, mercy, compassion, humility, courage, all wrapped up in one package, as did Moses. But tonight I'm going to bypass the great Bible characters such as Paul, Saul, Peter, James, John, Moses, Elijah, David, Samuel, Samson, Gideon, Abraham, Isaac, Adam, Jacob, and others. I'm going to call your attention not to a great man, but to a little boy. Not to a mighty leader, but to a little crippled fellow. His name is one that Brother John cannot pronounce. It is in the English Mephibosheth. In the Colston, Mephibosheth. But I'm going to call your attention to what's his name tonight. We'll call him Mephibosheth because that's his name. David, and if you'll follow the story, you'll hear a beautiful, beautiful truth. David had loved Jonathan like two men perhaps never loved each other in all the Bible. When David killed Goliath, he was brought before Saul. When David was brought before Saul, Jonathan, the son of Saul, and the logical successor to his father as king, looked at David and his heart was knitted to David. A friendship was begun that has never ended and will never end. Their souls were knit together. Jonathan died. His father, Saul, died. By the way, they died in the same battle. After Saul and Jonathan had died, David, so homesick was he, that he called his servants together one day. And he said to his servants, "I want to do something in memory of my great friend Jonathan. Is there anyone here in the house that, who knows someone in the house of Saul? Any living relative of Saul, I'd like to do something for him in honor of the late Jonathan." There was a servant in David's household whose name was Ziba. Ziba came to the King David and perhaps he saluted. Maybe he bowed. I'm not sure. But let's say he saluted. And he said, "Your honor, or royalty, sir." David said, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I'm Ziba." David said, "Ziba, what is it?" He said, "I know of a descendant of Saul." You see, Saul had a grandson Jonathan's own boy, whose name was Mephibosheth. When Jonathan and Saul were slain in battle, Mephibosheth was crippled in that same battle. His nurse took him. You find this in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. His nurse took him and fled the city with him in the same battle that killed his father and grandfather, Jonathan and Saul. But he said Mephibosheth was crippled on both his legs. He now lives on the east side of the Jordan in a poor, deserted land called Lodibar. He lives in the house of Amiel, the son of Machir, or Machir, the son of Amiel. I've forgotten all of a sudden. He lives in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. And David said, "Are you sure?" And Ziba said, "Yes, I am." And David said, "Ziba, I want you to take a royal caravan. I want you to leave the city of Jerusalem. I want you to go across the Jordan River on the east side. I want you to find the house of Machir, the son of Amiel. And I want you to find that little crippled boy, Mephibosheth. He's now 13 years of age. He was 5 when he was crippled. He's now 13 years of age. I want you to bring him back to the palace. He is going to sit at my table and eat at my table. I'm going to adopt him as one of my sons. He is going to be one of the sons of the king." And so Ziba took with him some messengers across the Jordan River to the east of the Jordan. There went to the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, and brought little Mephibosheth back to the king's palace. And he lived as one of the king's sons and ate at the king's table. One of the most beautiful stories you'll find in all the Bible. I want to call to your attention several things about the story. In the first place, little Mephibosheth was crippled by a fall. He was crippled by a fall. When the armies came to attack the city of God and the battle was raging, Saul, his grandfather, was killed. Jonathan, his father, was killed. Maybe the nurse took him in the heat of the battle and said, "Come with me, little 5-year-old boy, just 5 years old." And the nurse took him, and somehow or other, maybe he stumbled over a weapon of war. Maybe he fell from the nurse's arms as she carried him. Maybe some chariot ran over him. Maybe some beast or animal stomped on him. But the Bible says from that moment forward, Mephibosheth was always crippled in both his feet. He was crippled by a fall. Now I'm sure that as Mephibosheth went down to the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, he had all the inconveniences that a crippled boy would have. Can you imagine for a minute, please? When the boys played, cowboys and Indians, or Jews and Arabs, as they played there. They're still playing that, of course. But as the boys would play Jews and Arabs, little Mephibosheth couldn't run and play. Maybe he sat inside the house and looked out the window. I wonder how many times he said, "I wish I could run. I wish I had strong legs like those do." He would have been the kind of boy that would have been the cover boy for the crippled children's campaign for the Christmas seals. He would have been the kind of fellow who would have been the example of the crippled boy who were trying to help. I wonder how many times he sat maybe in a chair outside of his home, the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, and watched the boys as they ran and played whatever they played for baseball in those days. Whatever game they played for the physical exercise of football or basketball. When they played the games I used to play, like Red Rover, Come Over, I forget what it was. What's the game we played? Everybody lined up, got lined like this. Went over a fellow like that. Leapfrog, is that it? Leapfrog. And a jumper crawdad or something. I'm not sure what it was. But leapfrog. And I'm sure little Mephibosheth said time and time again, as many of you, your children, have had to say because they're not well. He said, "Boy, I'd love to play with those boys." But he never knew what it was to play their version of baseball or their version of football or leapfrog. Never knew what it was to run and play, run a race or pole vault or high jump or broad jump. For he was crippled. He was lame by a fall. And in this story of little Mephibosheth, is pictured the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. For every person in this room tonight was crippled by a fall. When Adam and Eve faced the tempter's wiles in Eden's garden, when Satan came with his flattery and said, you shall not surely die if you eat this food, this fruit. And Eve partook of the forbidden fruit and took that fruit to Adam, and he joined her in sin. Man, for the first time, had felt the tinge and the piercing of sin. Man fell from his lofty estate. He fell from innocency to sin. He fell from fellowship with God to separation from God. He fell from innocency to guilt. He fell from a lack of labor to hard labor. Man was crippled by a fall. You listen to me tonight. You hear me and hear me well. Every person who's ever walked the face of this earth since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden is a fallen person. And just like Mephibosheth of old, he's been crippled by a fall. Well, I know what the liberals say. They say there's in each of us a spark of something that's good. And that none of us is innately bad. And the liberal preachers say, if we could just fan that spark, your Norman Vincent Peale crowd. Adlai Stevenson said, the difference in Paul and Peale is that Paul was appealing and Peale is appalling. But that kind of the liberal crowd, the Buttrick crowd, the Nels FSRA crowd, they say, man is not innately bad. Man is good by nature. Well, let me ask you a question. What's all the murder about then? What's all the rape about then? What are all the taverns about then? What's all the wickedness and sex sin about then? What's all the homosexuality about then? Why is this world in so much trouble? Ladies and gentlemen, man is not by nature good. Man is by nature bad. If poison of asp is under his lips, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. Man by nature is a sinner. He's all sinful, and all of men are sinful. Man has been crippled by a fall. And man is going to have to do something than fan the spark of goodness inside his bosom in order to go to heaven. Man is going to have to get born again and have a nature inside of him just like the nature of our Christ himself. He was crippled by a fall. Crippled by a fall. Tonight, if you've not been born again, you'll not go to heaven. Mephibosheth could have been baptized, but that wouldn't let him walk. He could have joined the church, but that wouldn't let him walk. He could have lived a good life, but that wouldn't let him walk. He could have been confirmed, but that wouldn't let him walk. He could have been sprinkled as a child, but that wouldn't let him walk. He could be perfect, but that wouldn't let him walk. He was crippled by a fall, and so are you, and so was I. We've got to come face to face with one stark reality, and that is man is depraved before his God. There's nothing in him that deserves heaven, and nothing in him that can earn heaven, nothing he can do or say or be that can make him earn heaven. He's crippled by a fall in the Garden of Eden. I want you to notice something else about this story. Not only was he crippled by a fall, but he was sought by the king. Sought by the king. One day King David called his servants together, as I mentioned a while ago. And he said, men, Jonathan, my friend, is gone. Saul, his father, is gone. I want to do something for my friend Jonathan. Do any of you men know of anybody in the house of Saul who's still living that I may honor him for Jonathan's sake? Ziba stepped up and said, sir, I am Ziba. I know a little fellow named Mephibosheth, the same little fellow. 8 years ago, as a 5-year-old boy, he was crippled. When the nurse who took him from the city upon the death of his father and grandfather dropped him, both of his legs were crippled. I know him. He lives in Lodibar, the house of Machir, the son of Amiel. Ah, David said, I want some servant to go and take a caravan. And I want you to go get that boy. Now, I think I know what these servants said. I'll tell you what, I'd like to have gone on that trip. Boy, I'd like to have seen that little boy's face when he found out the king was looking for him. Poor little boy, crippled in the Lodibar, in the house of nature. Poor, ragged, little crippled kid, living, as it were, in poverty. And all of a sudden, a servant gets to go and say, little fella, Mephibosheth, you're going to go to the king's house. The king is looking for you. He's sought by the king. Why, I'm sure if I said tonight, fellas, I know a little crippled fella. President Nixon wants him to go to the White House to live. He wants him to run his tape recorder.
and wants to go to the White House to live. And this fellow is one of our bus kids. And he's been on our bus route for 8 years. Poor little kid. Mom and Dad are both sinners and don't care about him. And he's about to starve to death and wears ragged clothes. I'd say, Mr. Vineyard, would you like to go tell him about Nixon? Mr. Colston, would you like to go? Mr. Fisk, would you like to go? Mr. Sullivan, would you like to go? Mr. Boardway, would you like to go? Guess who I'd choose? I'd go myself. Why, can you imagine the joy of getting to be a servant who goes to a little boy crippled in the poverty of Lodibar and say, sir, the king is looking for you. He wants you to come to the king's house, be one of his sons, sit at his table, eat as one of his own sons. Boy, what a thrill. I never have understood. And I guess I never will understand as long as I live why everybody wouldn't want to go soul winning. I've never understood why it looks like to me people lost in sin, without hope, without God, headed for torment in hell to burn forever and ever and ever and ever. The place prepared for the unprepared. It looks like to me we ought to be jumping over each other to get to go tell the story, the wonderful story, for the king is looking for you. Tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, I've got some good news for you. The king is looking for you. I mean, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords looks down tonight and sees you in your crippled condition, and he sees you as spiritually you walk trying to get to heaven, and you can't get there. And the King of Kings and Lord of Lords sends the Holy Spirit of God into the lives of people like you and me to tell us, to say to you, the king is looking for you. The King of Kings wants you to come and live in heaven. You don't have to crawl around begging, crippled, in poverty. Jesus, God's Son, wants you to come and live in heaven with him. Ah, can you imagine the joy these men must have felt as they left the king's palace that day, led perhaps for Ziba, going down toward the Jordan River. Across the Jordan, they travel and on down to a little place east of Jordan, a little place called Lodibar. You folks know something. Some of you know something about the east of Jordan. It's barren, very barren. Poverty-stricken place was Lodibar. Only poor people lived in Lodibar. Right now in that area, many, many people live in camps, refugee camps. Can you imagine the joy of these men as they travel down to the Jordan River and across the Jordan to Lodibar? And they come to I picture the house. I'm not sure this is it, but I think if it were in the place where I grew up, this is what it would look like. Here comes the caravan. Here comes Ziba. Maybe in my mind's eye, there's a road, a country road that goes by. And you open a fence, an old barbed wire fence. There's a cattle guard. Part of you people are so ignorant, you know what a cattle guard is. You think it's a soldier walks guard around the cows. There's a cattle guard. I haven't got time to educate you. If you don't know all these deep things, just sit in blindness and ignorance. But I think I see him as he crosses the cattle guard. Here comes the royal caravan. I think I see him as he goes down into a little depression. And then up a hill. And I think I see on the top of that hill an old-fashioned country house. And I think I see maybe a dog under the front porch. And I think I see a little crippled fella in a wheelchair back inside the house looking out. And I think I see him as he says, Uncle Nature, would you look out, please, and see if you see what I think I see. I think I see the king's caravan pulling into our driveway. I mean, I think I see a royal caravan. Mature looks out, and in the Hebrew he says, good night in the morning. Look at that. And they turn in that little poor cottage house, a poor country house, and across the cattle guard and down the depression up on top of the hill they go. And there's a little house. Ziba walks up. Boy, Ziba said, I'll tell you, I'm about to do the thing that's happened, the most wonderful thing I've ever done in my life.
I'm going to get to tell a little crippled fellow that the king in Jerusalem wants him to come and leave this little old hubble of a house and live in the palace and leave this little penury kind of fare and eat the king's meat at the king's table. So he knocks on the door. Or if he's in Texas, he said, "Hello!" And Major comes to the door. He's trembling. And Major says, "Listen, what do you want with me? I mean, I sent my income tax in before April 15th. What could you want with me? I mean, I haven't done anything. I didn't do it." "No, I didn't do it." And Ziba grins at him and says, "I'm not here to scold you or to punish you. Is there a young man here, crippled, named Mephibosheth?" "Yeah, but he couldn't have done anything wrong either. He's a crippled lad. One of the finest kids you ever saw in your life, but he's too crippled to get out of the house. He never gets out. He's not done anything wrong." And Ziba said, he says, "Could you bring him to the door?" Major goes back and says, "Mephibosheth, what you been into?" "Why?" he says. "He said they want you." "Oh," he said, "good night. They want me." Mephibosheth rolls, I think, in his wheelchair. "You said they have wheelchairs back in those days?" "Yeah, you sure did." "You say, how do you know?" "Because I said they did." He rolls in his wheelchair. He looks up, and Ziba says, "Are you Mephibosheth?" And he says, "Mephibosheth, I have some wonderful news for you. Your dad was Jonathan, right?" "Yes, sir." "Your grandfather was Saul, right?" "Yes, sir." He said, "Mephibosheth, King David was your dad's best friend. And King David asked me to come to get you and do something for you in honor of your father, Jonathan. Because of David's friendship and kinship with Jonathan, spiritual kinship with Jonathan, he wants you to come and live in the palace as one of his sons." Do you think Mephibosheth said, "I just want to think about it a while"? Huh? Or, "I just don't know whether I'm ready or not. I want to have my fun. When I get older, I'll have my fun." Can you think how much fun he must have had? Huh? If he danced, he had to dance with midgets. Or dog. Can you imagine how much fun he must have had? Sitting in a wheelchair, day after day, night after night. Suppose he had said, "I'm having too much fun." He would have been as big a liar as you sinners are. The devil sold you, listen, Mephibosheth had as much fun as you nightclubbers have when you go into sin. "Oh, you say I'm living it up. You know better than that. You got a brown taste in your mouth, and you're headed for hell, and you've got a guilty conscience, and in God's dear name, you know you're lying. You're not having fun. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." May I say tonight, it would be just as ridiculous for that little crippled boy to come at the door on his knees and for him to say, "I'm not ready yet," as it would for you, bound by sin, headed for hell, to look in the face of God Almighty, who wants to take you from the depths of sin and make you as one of his own children, who wants to save you from the fires of hell and let you walk golden streets in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. How foolish you are to say, "I just don't think I'm ready yet." Well, I say tonight the King of Kings is looking for you. You ought to run down this aisle, stumble over each other to get saved. Amen. I think I know what he said. I think he wanted to think he said, "Sir, if that story is true, that's the most wonderful story I ever heard. Are you sure you're not kidding me? Are you sure, sir, that I'm the right one? Don't kid me now. Don't you fool me." And Ziba says, "Let me show you my credentials. I represent the king. Let me show you my credentials. I represent the king. I represent the king. And I want to show you my credentials. Here's a message from the king written inviting you to be one of his children. And here's the message from the king inviting you to be one of his children." And the little boy looks up and says, "If you mean it, if he means it, and if you're sincere, of course I'll come." And that leads us to the next point. Here's what the servant said. "Mephibosheth, you just follow the caravan. Come on, we're going to leave. You just follow us. Just walk along behind." Mephibosheth said, "But I can't do that. If I took all of my life, I couldn't walk to Jerusalem. I couldn't swim the Jordan River. Don't you see, sir? I'm crippled. I could never get to Jerusalem on my own." "No, and you will never get to the heavenly Jerusalem on your own either. Amen. Never. If you say tonight, 'I'm good enough to go to heaven,' you're as foolish as Mephibosheth would have been if he said, 'I can crawl to Jerusalem.' Why? Because you're crippled by a fall. I'll tell you what happened. Mephibosheth went down and he took that little boy. You know how that little boy got to Jerusalem? Huh? Because he walked himself? No, sir. Because he was carried. He was placed in the chariot. The royal chariot. Thank you, son. Placed in the royal chariot. He didn't get there on his own goodness. He got there because the king made all the provisions. Amen. Why, the king had said before they left, "Here's the place I want him to sit. I want him right up here in the front. Here's some food for him. Here are some clothes for him. Everything he needs for his trip is there." The king prepared it all. And listen to me tonight. You listen to me. The king has prepared everything for your trip. Amen. Everything for your trip. Oh, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. You say, "Brother Hiles, I'm trusting Jesus and my baptism to get me to heaven." You'll end up in hell. Amen. You say, "I'm trusting Jesus and my good works to get me to heaven." You'll end up in hell. Say, "I'm trusting Jesus and my priest to get me to heaven." You'll end up in hell. Amen. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Amen. The old account was settled long ago. He paid the price. He paid the fare. I think I know what happened. Time and time again, little Mephibosheth had watched the boys as they played outside. Maybe he'd sit in the window and look out and watch them as they'd play outside. He'd long for the day he could run and jump with the boys. Maybe some of the boys made fun of him, called him old no-legs. Maybe they laughed at him. I don't know. But I think I know what happened. That day when that servant of the king lifted him on his shoulders and set him up in the front of the chariot, the royal chariot, and pointed it toward Jerusalem. And all the little boys were out playing, Jews and Arabs. They saw that chariot, and they saw those fellows carrying Mephibosheth. And one of those little boys stopped, and he said, "Look at old Mephi. Boy, dig that chariot he's got. Boy, look at him." And old Mephibosheth got up in the high in the chariot and sat way up on the top of the chariot. And as he took off for Jerusalem, he said, "Hey, fellas, guess where I'm going?" "Where?" "I'm going to Jerusalem to live." "Boy, you lucky cat." These were hippie boys. "What you going to do there?" "Oh, not much. Just going to be one of the king's sons." "Wow! One of the king's sons. Boy. What else you going to do?" "Oh, well, not much. Just going to eat at his table 3 times a day. "Ooh! Eat at the king's table." And little Mephibosheth did not do a thing to earn it. He did not help himself get one step toward the king's palace. But carried by the servant, even as the Holy Spirit carries us to the very presence of God Himself.
little Mephibosheth looked down and said, "Fellows, I didn't deserve it, and I couldn't get there myself, but because of my father who was a friend of the king, and because the king wanted to do something for my father who had interceded for the king before, and at the king's behalf before, I'm getting to go to Jerusalem, and I am too. I'm going to heaven, not because I'm good, but because of what Jesus did for the king one day. Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross and paid the penalty for my sin. He made all the provision for all of my salvation. And all I do is let the Holy Spirit carry me to heaven. That's all. That's all. I think I know something else. When Mephibosheth got there, they carried him outside the chariot and up the steps of the royal palace. He's now one of the king's sons, and I think King David must have come out and said, "Mephibosheth, my son." If you'll check the words Mephibosheth said, I think it's the most admirable words ever said. He said, "Behold thy servant. Behold thy servant." Now, if that had been me, I'd have said, "Your Majesty, look at me. I appreciate you bringing me here, but there's nothing I can do. You see, this leg is twisted, and this one is deformed. I can't even walk. I'm glad, but don't ask me to do anything. Behold, you're crippled. Or behold, you're invalid. Or behold, you're sick one. Or behold, you're infirmed one. Or behold, you're lame one." Not Mephibosheth. He said, "Behold, your servant." He said, "There's bound to be something here I can do. I'm crippled, but I want to serve you. I don't want to fill up 18 inches of lumber and just sit in the pew. I want to be your servant." He says, "Behold, your servant." Let me tell you something. That's exactly what that little blind lady did who came down this aisle the other night and sat right here in this seat. She could have said, "I'm blind and I can't do anything." But she said, "I am surrendering to full-time service for Jesus Christ. Behold your servant." Can you imagine how grateful he must have felt? And that day as he looked around, forgive me, I think he said, "Zowie." Boy, I'll tell you what, those marble walls don't look like those wood balls we had back home. Dry wall, but it's laid by John Penley, and it wasn't laid very good. Boy. He looked at that table, spread, man alive, look at that food. That's not much like that bologna sandwiches we had back home. That's beef bologna, it's in the Holy Land. Said, "Boy, look at that." And he went to the king, I think, and he said, "Your Highness, I don't know why you did it, but oh, I'm so glad to be here. My, 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 my. What a joy to be here. Isn't there something I could do? I know I'm crippled, but I'll do anything I can. You just tell me, behold thy servant." He was willing to serve. Let me tell you something. It looks like to me if anybody in the world ought to serve anybody, we Christians ought to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, think of all he's done for us. Bound by sin. Headed for hell. Lost in sin. Without hope. Without God. The King of Kings went to Calvary and paid the penalty in our place that we might die and go to heaven someday and live forever with Christ. Every one of us ought to say, "Your Majesty, behold, I'll serve you till I die. I may have a crippled leg, but I'll hobble on a stub. I may just have one arm, but I'll superintend a rescue mission. I may not have a Ph.D. from a college, but I'll be a great soul winner. I may not have a degree from a Christian school, but I'll be the best choir director I can be. I may just be an old Texan saved by grace, but I'll build the biggest bus ministry in the whole world. I may just be a stumbling fellow that falls as he walks the pulpit, but I..." Come to think of it, this sort of reminds me of you.
But I'll comfort those who need comforting, and I'll catch the tears of those in sorrow, and I'll sit beside lonely people in the hospital rooms, and I'll stand beside caskets and catch the tears of broken hearts. I want to find a place of service. And let me tell you something tonight. There's no honor any greater than any in the whole world than to be a servant of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Behold thy servant. But there's something else about this story. And that is, little Mephibosheth was placed as one of the king's sons. I think I know what happened that night. I think when time came for the day to end, the king was sitting on his throne. I think I see a fellow walk in with glistening saber and boots that are shining brightly, the uniform on. I think he said, "Sir, Your Majesty, I'm one of the king's sons." I think I see the door open again. And I think I see a fellow walk in with a satchel, a statesman, been sitting at round tables all day long, carrying the future of the nation in his satchel and in his mind. He walks in and stands alertly as a businessman in neatly pressed business suit and says, "Your Majesty, I'm one of the king's sons." I think I see an athletic type man walk in with muscles bulging. And walks in with a great physique, obviously has been in the Olympic Games. He walks in and he says, "Majesty, I'm one of the king's sons." And then I think I see a little fella come hobbling in. And he says, "Your Majesty, I'm not as powerful as the son that just saluted you. I'm not as smart as the second one. And I'm not as brave as the first one. But I'm one of the king's sons too." You see, he wasn't as strong a son, but as much a son. I'm no Dwight Moody, but I'm just as saved as Dwight Moody was. I'm no Apostle Paul, but Apostle Paul was not any more saved than Jack Hyles, and he was not any more saved than you can be tonight if you're a dirty sinner. If you walk down this aisle and say yes to God, you can be as saved as John the Baptist was. Amen. Think of it! Boy, I expect he'd like to say, "I'm one of the king's sons. I'm one of the king's sons. I'm one of the king's sons." Do you recall, you ladies, the first day you got married? And you wrote that name, Mrs. Ray Boardway. 1,000 times. Now you scratched every one of them out. But 1,000 times, Mrs. Ray Boardway. You fellows, don't you recall when you're expecting that first baby? You wanted to hear the words "daddy," so you stuck your head down the well and said "daddy" to hear the echo come back? Don't you recall, ladies, when he proposed to you, he said, "Wilt thou?" And you wilted right there in his very presence. And you said, "I am going to be Mrs. Joe Blow." Mephibosheth said, "I'm one of the king's sons. I'm one of the king's sons." That's exactly what John said in the first epistle when he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." It's exactly what he meant. But there's something else I want you to notice too. The night has come. The shadows have settled on the palace. The family is all in. It's time for the first dinner that little Mephibosheth eats at the king's table. Down at the end of the table is the king himself, King David, the one who made it all possible. I'm sure Mephibosheth looked down, glanced down to David often and said, "I can't believe it. I can't believe it. All I've got to do to talk to the king is just look over and say, 'Daddy, that's all I've got to do.' And that's all I've got to do to talk to the king too, is just look up and say, 'Daddy, Daddy.'" And that night, the brilliant statesman sat at the table as one of the king's sons. And that night, the strong Olympian sat at the table as one of the king's sons. And that night, the great, brave warrior sat at the table as one of the king's sons, sitting over there just barely reaching up to the table, having probably to reach up for his food like this.
And I'm sure he didn't know all the king's table manners. I'll bet you a quarter he sopped the gravy with his biscuit. He didn't know. But you don't have to use proper manners to be one of the king's sons. You have to just come to the king, that's all. Amen. Have you ever noticed how green some of our converts are? They don't know all about it. When they get baptized, they'll go forward instead of backwards. They don't know all about it. They don't know all the protocol. But they're still one of his sons. That night, little David sat there at the table. The beautiful royal linen tablecloth was on the table and the food on top of that linen tablecloth. Are you listening? That linen tablecloth, as it fell off the table, it cut little Mephibosheth across the waist here. Underneath that linen were two crippled little legs, but they were covered by the beautiful linen of the tablecloth. And as far as you could see at the table, he was just as healthy as the other boys, for all that was wrong with him was covered by the fine linen. And that's exactly the way it is tonight with me. Oh, I'm not perfect, but my sins are covered. I'm not what I ought to be, but my sins are covered. I get so tired of my own imperfections, but blessed be God, my sins are covered. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song, buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally, praise God, my sins are gone. And that night, as Mephibosheth sat there, I think he pulled the linen over his waist, over his lap. I think he said, I'm so glad my crippled legs don't show. I'm so glad when the king looks at me, he doesn't see that which caused me to fall, or that which was crippled by the fall. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, every poor sinner that comes to Jesus, to God through Jesus Christ, who sits at God's royal banquet table when the Father looks down upon us, he doesn't see us as sinners. He sees us as his righteous as Jesus Christ himself. Why? Because the perfect linen of Jesus, the perfect righteousness of Jesus, covers our sins. But that isn't all. That isn't all. I think I know what happened. It's late at night. Royal servants have gotten behind Mephibosheth and rolled him in his wheelchair to his own little suite. He's been prepared for bed. Servants bow at his request and seek to grant him everything he needs or wants. Finally, one of the head servants says, Mephibosheth, your honor, your majesty, is there any other request you have? Mephibosheth says, yes, one other. Would you take me, please, to the royal cemetery before I go to sleep? He gets in his wheelchair, wraps a garment around him. They push him down, take him down the stairs, and put him in the royal carriage. I don't know how far they go, but they come to a cemetery. I think Mephibosheth says, may I roll myself the rest of the way, please? And they say, your majesty, we obey your command. Mephibosheth rolls himself down to a certain spot in the cemetery. And he gets up close to a tombstone. And on that tombstone is written the letters J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N. And I think he looks up and says, Daddy, Daddy, wherever you are, Daddy, thank you for being a friend of the king. For Daddy, all that's happened to me in the last few hours, it's not because of me, it's because of you. Daddy, you risked your life for the king. You jumped in the way when Granddaddy was trying to kill him, and you risked your life. Daddy, before I go to bed the first night, I want you to know, I know it's not me. I know it's you. Oh, tonight, every one of us ought to huddle up close to a hill and a cross on the hill and say, Jesus, we're not going to heaven because we're good. Thank you that you stood for the king in our place. Oh, tonight, dear beloved, born again, redeemed ones of God, why in the world don't we say, after all that He's done for us, we'll be His servants till we die? And tonight, if you're here and you never have been saved, I have some blessed, wonderful news for you. The King is looking 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 for you. The table is spread. The way is made. The servant will carry you. You say, what have I got to do to go to heaven? Just get on board. That's all you got to do. Just get on board. Just say yes. And when Mephibosheth said yes, that put it all in action. The servant reached down with his own hands, and that servant took him till he was in the very presence of the King. When I was a poor little cripple, a little boy, in a drunkard's home, poor as could be, one day somebody told me the King was looking for me. And I trusted Jesus as my Savior as a poor kid. Not crippled, but poor like Mephibosheth. And that's been 36 years ago. For 36 wonderful years, I've been carried with a servant. And one blessed day, I'm going to see the palace. And I'm going to see the King. Wouldn't you love to know that you're going to heaven? Wouldn't you love to know that God is your Father? Heaven is your home. The Holy Spirit your guide. Just as really as little Mephibosheth could go free of charge to the palace in Jerusalem, you can go free of charge to the heavenly palace in the New Jerusalem if you'll trust the Savior. Won't you? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how could a story show the gospel any more clearly than this one? I pray tonight for God's people that we'll walk up or crawl up and say, behold thy servant. May we serve thee and obey thee, not so we can go to the palace, but because we've been brought by grace to the palace. And may those that know thee not come to know thee tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Could I ask you a question tonight? Don't you see yourself in this story? Undeserving of salvation. Not available to you because of what you've done, because of what Jesus did. Or are you serving Him? Have you said, behold thy servant? I wonder who would say tonight, Brother Hiles, I'm a Christian. The King came looking for me. He sent His servant to get me. But Brother Hiles, I'm not serving the King as He deserves. Oh, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords deserves my best. But I'm not giving it to Him. Tonight I pledge myself anew to give my best to God. He doesn't have my best, but if He could do all He's done for me, oh, what He's done for me. Oh, what He's done for me. If I should try through all eternity, I could never tell you what He's done for me. But you'd say, Brother Hiles, I know He's done it for me, but I've not served Him like I should. Tonight I give myself anew to serve the King. Would you lift your hand, please, all over this great crowd, all over this great crowd. Would you lift your hand, please? God bless you. If you need to use the altar in a few minutes, you do it. It's yours. But wait a minute. If you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus, if you've never accepted the invitation of the servant to come and live in the King's palace, be one of the King's sons, eat at the King's table, if you never have, the King's looking for you tonight. The King of Glory is looking for you tonight. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I do not know that I'm going to heaven. I do not know that I'm saved. I do not know that I'd go to heaven, to the heavenly palace, if I died tonight. But I want to know. I want to be saved and know it. I want to be saved and know it. Pray for me that I may know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I wish I did. Pray for me. First on the lower floor, every eye is closed in the house. Every eye is closed in the house. Would you say, pray for me? I want to be saved and know it on the main floor. If you don't know you're going to heaven, but you wish you did, raise your hand and let me know it, and I'll pray for you. lifted way up high on the main floor. No one looking, please. You don't know that you're going to heaven, but you wish you did know it. Lift your hand and say, pray for me, for the raising of your hand. Quickly, would you lift it? God bless you. Who else? Who else? Quickly, raise it. God bless you. I see you over here on my right. God bless you. Who else would say, pray for me? I want to be saved, and I want to know I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Lift your hand, please. On the main floor, way up high. Who else? God bless you on the back row. Who else? On the main floor, pray for me. Lift your hand, please. Lift your hand. God bless you. Who else? The balcony on my left, the east balcony. You'd say, pray for me. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. Lift your hand, please. The east balcony. Lift your hand. In the center balcony, would you say, pray for me that I might be saved and know it? Raise your hand, please. Raise your hand if you would. The balcony on my right, would you lift your hand and say, include me in this prayer? God bless you. I see your hand. Who else? Include me in this prayer. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know it now, but I wish I did. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? God bless you, fella. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for these. Several, oh God, tonight may they say yes to Jesus. May tonight they hear the call of the servant saying, the King's looking for you. He wants you to come and live in His palace forever as one of His sons and eat at His heavenly banquet table forever. May they say yes to Him tonight. Now with heads bowed, here's the invitation. I've made it very plain tonight. We're crippled by a fall. The King has made all the provisions on Calvary. He sent the servant, the Holy Spirit, to tell you that He wants you to come and live. All you've got to do is say, yes, I'll come. Would you say right now, oh, God, I do come. Out of my darkness, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come.